I'm Simone, and I last year was doing work with the Guelph Action Network surrounding our immigration working group, which basically dealt with the issue of immigration in our community, which has, I guess, been highlighted by the proposal of using the Guelph Wellington Detention Center as a holding tank for and a prison for people who don't have status in Canada and illegal terrorists, as they call them.
That was a debate that sort of reopened during the election campaign, the recent provincial election campaign, and just this past week there was a couple articles as well that came out in the Guelph Mercury about it. I understand that Brenda Elliott all along has kind of maintained a stance against the Ontario Detention Centre being used as a maximum security place for immigrants who are considered high risk. Mostly because it sounded like she didn't want terrorists in our backyard, was the way I'd heard it put originally.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's somewhat changed her tune. I understand she now thinks it should be redeveloped to support the life sciences industry. And on the Liberal and NDP sides, Liz Sandals and James Velke stood on side of the reuse of the ODC as a prison, and that their argument centered around the need for such a facility for jobs and the potential of a positive sign of provincial and federal cooperation. And I'm just wondering, what do you think is missing from the public debate locally?
Well, I guess what worries me the most is that the detention center was proposed by both Velke and Sandals as a more humane option than other options that exist right now. So, I mean, currently people who are being detained in in hotels near the Toronto airport, and they're, you know, guarded by rent-a-cops. And so I guess Velke proposed the detention center in Guelph as like a public option, so it would, you know, it's good for OPSU, there's going to be all these jobs, and also, you know, it's public control of detention. But I think what he didn't address, what none of them addressed, was why are people being detained, and what does it mean to be an illegal immigrant, and who determines that you're illegal? And, you know, like, some people are detained because they're under risk of flight. And I mean, no one really describes why they're at risk of flight. And so I think that there's a whole range of really vague definitions, and there's a lot of rhetoric being used, and it's, you know, all to avoid, I guess, really touching upon the issue of what's going on, why are people being detained.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think is some of the problems with the way that this sort of vague idea of security that is being touted around, you know, whether, you know, security for a community by having people locked up in a jail instead of in one of the hotels, or the so-called security certificates that fall under the recent anti-terrorism legislation?
I guess anti-terrorism legislation as a whole has very vague definitions of terrorism. And, I mean, I guess what ends up happening is there are such things as national security certificates, which mean that there are five Muslim men, on waiting trial right now, and they're being detained, and their lawyers don't have any access to any of the evidence that is going to be used against them, and no one does. And so I think that I don't know what else we can take from this other than the fact that we live in a very xenophobic and racist country, and that, I mean, if people have right to fair trial here, then why are these people being denied fair trial? And yeah, I think that the ambiguity is something behind which the government hides, and it's really, really gross and frightening. So I also think it's really important to think, like, if this is going on now, what's going to be happening in a few years? And with the Great Lakes Security Summit that happened in April of this year, that was a summit in which members of the Ontario government and the Canadian government met with members of the INS from the United States to align security and immigration policy with that of the U.S. And I think that was another step towards collusion and we acknowledge that the U.S. is racist. We acknowledge that they have a whole range of completely brutal detentions and abuse of the people post post 9/11. And so I think that, I mean, if Canada's working in collusion with laws that we acknowledge and criticize as being racist and xenophobic, then there's something really, like, brutal going on.
No, you're doing fine. I guess along those lines, part of that new agreement would be if one or the other country refuses asylum for somebody seeking refuge in either country, then the other one will automatically also not accept them.
Yeah, that's the safe third country agreement. And yeah, basically, if you land on U.S. soil first to get into Canada. Because perhaps you have relatives in Canada or you have a common language. People from Algeria speak French. A lot of French-speaking countries, they'd be more likely to be given citizenship if they were to come to Canada. But if they land on U.S. soil first, they're required to apply for citizenship there. And if they are not granted citizenship by the U.S., then they have no chance of receiving it in Canada. So I guess that's one of those laws that completely aligns our immigration policy with that of the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And what examples are you aware of here in Canada that have fallen under some of our new anti-terrorist legislation and the Refugee Protection Act, I believe it's being called, that don't necessarily provide strong evidence that the people who are being detained are actually high risk and warrant the sort of maximum security that we're considering for them?
I mean, there's a whole range of examples. I guess one that struck me as really, really, it was just really difficult to see, as they all are, but I was faced with it at a No One Is Illegal consulta last year, was a man, and he was from Palestine, and because he had... he was Palestinian and he fled Israel and obviously was not given papers. Like, as a Palestinian in Israel, you're not given any papers. And he had to forge them. And so he was considered a high-risk security, like, hazard. And basically he had come to the No One Is Illegal consulta to ask for help. And he was expected to be deported within 10 days, and prior to that was going to be detained. So I think, that to me is just ridiculous. You have a country like Canada who says that it's this great place for immigrants and refugees and that it's safe, and people come here, like, believing the rumors, and they're detained right away and imprisoned and treated like criminals.